Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Joining us also today right now on the line is Randy Barnett. He's the Georgetown University law professor who's considered to be the libertarian architect of the challenge to President Obama's health care law. Randy, we understand that you're claiming victory, too. Well, why is that?
It's very weird. I mean, we won on the two major issues that we litigated in this case. One is that the individual mandate is beyond the power of Congress under the Commerce Clause. There were five votes. A majority of the court said that we were right in every one of our arguments about the Commerce Clause power, that this is not some, Congress does not have the power to compel that individuals engage in commerce so that they may exercise it. We won on that issue. We also won on the issue of coercion of states. That wasn't my clients. That was the AG's. But the federal, it's unconstitutional to withhold all of Medicaid funding if the states don't agree to expand their Medicaid coverage. That's the first limit on the spending power that we've seen in decades. So we won on these two major issues, and then at the end of the day, the Affordable Care Act is upheld as a tax, that the court rewrote the mandate to be a tax and allowed it to be enforceable as a tax, so we lose on the outcome. It's just very weird.
So what you're saying is, you had fought this on the individual mandate, which is what probably most people know, that whether the individual mandate could stand up to
Under the Commerce Clause. Which is how Congress had phrased it.
Right, exactly. And what they did was they said, well, it's a tax. So it's not an individual mandate, it's a tax, so that's what you're saying.
Right,
is that right?
Right. And the one way in which this is a it's a terrible disappointment, obviously, but the one way in which it is an improvement over finding a commerce power is something I've said all along. If it had been a commerce power, that means even though it was only a money fine this time, in the future, if you don't do business with these companies, Congress could put you in jail, which is how they enforce their Commerce Clause powers. In the future, using the tax power, they have to. They're limited to monetary sanctions, like they have in this bill, which is that you give up. You have to pay a certain amount of money if you don't get insurance. So it does limit the scope of what they can do. And if it's going to be a tax, you know, taxes are unpopular, and there's going to be accountability in the future.
Okay, Randy Barnett, we have to take a break for a minute. Can you stay with us?
Sure.
Emily Bazelon, legal affairs editor at Slate, is with us as well. We're continuing our coverage of today's Supreme Court decision to uphold President Obama's Affordable Care Act. We'll be back in just about a minute. It's Here and Now. Welcome back to our coverage of the Supreme Court's decision today to uphold President Obama's Affordable Care Act. Major victory for the Obama administration, a huge disappointment for Republican lawmakers. On the line with us is Randy Barnett. He's the Georgetown University law professor, considered to be the libertarian architect of the challenge against the law. Also with us is Emily Bazelon. She's the legal affairs editor at Slate. But Randy, I want to start with you. We had spoken with you briefly before the break, and you had said that you are considering this a partial victory. What do you do from here?
Well, it's a victory for the commerce power. It's a victory for limits on the commerce power. It means that Congress can't use this power in the future. And as far as the Affordable Care Act goes, what happens next is what was going to happen anyway, and that is now the American people will decide if they approve of this tax that's been imposed upon them, at least according to the court. There was a reason why the president didn't call it a tax in the first place. Taxes are pretty unpopular. And now there's going to be a national election about whether this tax is acceptable. We already have one candidate running against it, and now we'll have a vote on it.
You know, a New York Times story about your role in all of this quoted some of your critics who said that your arguments were made up out of whole cloth. What do you think now that this has gotten to the point that it has? What do you say?
Every one of the arguments that I made was accepted by the court today. I didn't say all that much about the tax power going along, but every one of the, I mean, except for the fact that you'd have to rewrite the bill to get there. But every argument that I made about the Commerce Clause was affirmed by Chief Justice Roberts in his opinion for the majority today. So that's the reason why this is kind of like they say kissing your sister or something. I'm not sure what the right metaphor is. It's that to win all your arguments and then lose on the outcome is a very strange result. It is a big day for the Obama administration. There's no question about that. But it's also a big day for limited government. It is now the law of the land that the individual mandate is outside the power of Congress to enact under the Commerce Clause. That is the law of the land.
Okay, Randy Barnett, Georgetown University law professor and the libertarian architect of the challenge to the Affordable Care Act. Thanks very much for being with us today.
My pleasure.